more Supreme Court rulings. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, but not the Trump immunity case. We'll get that Monday. The court did rule on one of the charges the former president faces dating back to 2020.
So what they have said is that one of the statutes the Justice Department used to charge hundreds of different January 6 defendants is no good. And that includes President Donald Trump, because he has actually had two of these counts against him in the Jack Smith D.C. case against him, that federal criminal case that has been on hold here.
Fox's Shannon Bream. The court also ruled in favor of Grants Pass, Oregon's crackdown on homelessness, with a law banning people from sleeping in public places, even though the city isn't offering shelter space. And the justices ruled in favor of a challenge to government regulation that dates back 40 years that gave the feds more power to impose a wide range of regulations regarding the environment, public health, workplace safety, and more. Former President Trump will campaign in Virginia today. President Biden will rally in North Carolina the day after the CNN presidential debate.
You saw the greatest mismatch of a debate in the history of presidential debates.
House Speaker Mike Johnson tells Fox Democrats are right to panic. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz tells Fox they don't need a Biden replacement, as some suggest.
He had a bad night last night. I hate these debates. I've been through dozens of them myself, but they're performative. The bottom line is how do you deliver as president?
House Republicans keep targeting Attorney General Merrick Garland. They've already held him in contempt of Congress for not handing over Biden audio tapes from interviews with the special counsel in the classified documents investigation. Well, now, Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna is pushing for a vote on a resolution to direct the House Sergeant at Arms to detain Attorney General Garland until he complies.
What is on those tapes that Garland would run the risk of becoming a criminal and essentially protect the president so much so that he's going to defy not one but two congressional subpoenas, of which other Americans would be in jail for?
America's listening to Fox News.
Your pet isn't just a pet. They're part of your family. Most of the pet food on the market is cooked at high temperatures, which kills nutrients. A scoop of Dynavite is a 3-in-1 daily supplement, adding back key nutrients to your pup's health. Try Dynavite for free. Just pay shipping and handling. Learn more at dinovite.com/radio. That's dinovite.com/radio.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
If you've got a military, first responder, or government service background, GovX.com is for you. You stepped up to serve our country and communities, and GovX delivers unbeatable deals that you've earned. GovX.com is the only site built exclusively to honor your service. Members save on thousands of trusted brands, tickets, travel, and more. See if you qualify. Visit GovX.com and join for free today. Use code RADIO15 in the shopping cart to get an extra $15 off your first order. GovX. Savings for those.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. Two suspects involved in the murder of Leo Melendez, a popular Somerton barber, were back in court, one being offered a plea deal. 23-year-old Gregorio Cota accepted the plea deal, pleading guilty to second-degree murder, which comes with a sentence of 18 years. The accused getaway driver, 27-year-old Johnny Albert Valenzuela, is awaiting a plea deal of his own, which should come soon. The third suspect in this case, Joshua Cota, will be back in court in August. The Humane Society of Yuma is offering free pet microchips to help keep pets in their homes and out of the shelter this 4th of July. The shelter says microchipping is a simple yet effective way to ensure your pet's safety by providing a permanent and tamper-proof form of identification. Join us on the TV side every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. From News 11, I'm Scott Gross.
Temperatures running 109 or warmer starting today and continuing through most of next week. No big change in our overall weather pattern through Monday. 109 the high today, mid-80s overnight. Tomorrow, it's a hot day, 110. Sunday's the hottest day, 112. Monday, 110 the high. Tuesday, 111. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
on a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggenberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage in studio. This morning, we have Russ Clark behind the board. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
And we have two esteemed gentlemen here. So
esteemed?
Esteemed. Can I use that word?
I guess, but I just wanted to write it down.
You like that? Okay. So Frank Saldana, currently El Presidente Caballeros de Yuma. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having us.
And Colonel Rob Philby, retired, USA. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, folks. Good morning, Yuma.
So you both are leaders in the Caballeros, leaders in the community, and today we're talking 4th of July, which today is not the 4th of July, but it's just within the week. And there's some great things that a lot of people know that the Cabs do within the city of Yuma, such as Midnight at the Oasis, such as the Balloon Festival, very visible things within the community. The holiday pageant, the tower lighting, things that the entire city sees for weeks on end sometimes. But the 4th of July, I think, is one of the most honorable and least mentioned things that the Cabs do. So, Colonel, I would like you to tell us what has been done in years past on the 4th of July and what time it is and where it is, and then we're going to dig into some things.
Obviously, the 4th of July is not a movable feast. It always happens on the 4th of July. So let me step back. Started originally over at Caballeros Park in the Croc Center, the big water tower. That is where, as I can recall, the flag ceremony started. And we had various youth group that would come out and perform, and we did some acknowledgement of our soldiers, sailors, Marines from our two installations, and we also raised the garrison flag on top of the tower. Garrison flag 20 by 38 feet. That's a big flag. And we would bring it in. We'd have a Marine Corps color guard bring a flag in, and then they would march it over to the base of the water tower, and the flag would disappear inside the water tower. And then, that big flag would raise on top of the water tower to the singing of our national anthem. And through the years, we incorporated, added the Pledge of Allegiance to that ceremony. And then somebody got the idea, why don't we move it over to the Armed Forces Park downtown? The park had been completed, so Caballeros got together and got with the city, said, sure, we can move it over there. So we moved it to the Armed Forces Park downtown on Gila Street, right across the, right where the old train station used to be. That's where it is. And we started having this ceremony there, raising the flag and Pledge of Allegiance, three rifle volley, taps, those type, and we would alternate between the air station and the proving ground, inviting the commanding officer to give us, offer up a keynote address.
So what you're saying, though, is this flag-raising ceremony is early in the morning. So for anybody who's not been there, this is now going to be down on 281 Gila, the Armed Forces Park, or 291, sorry. And this starts at, formerly started at what time?
Well,
7:30.
I was going to say, we have always started the flag ceremony at 7:30 in the morning. There has been over the years, folks were saying, it's so hot, let's start it at 7. Let's get it done, let's wait later. And I said, no. It starts at 7:30, regardless. This year, if this is where we want to go.
Well, hold on. We're going to put a pause in that. Okay. So for anybody who has not been there, this is a emotional event. Come out and watch the proper raising of our flag. See the men and women of the armed forces that are there supporting this country, because we get to be on the radio, we get to go cook hot dogs, we get to swim, we get to go to the river, because there's men and women who support this country and are willing to lay their lives down for it. That's why we pay respect to the flag and the service men and women. Now, to your point where you were going, Rob, I want to interrupt and ask Frank, because the two civilians here are going to talk about this starting before we get you involved. So, Frank, what did the Caballeros agree to start at 7 a.m. this Thursday, 4th of July? 7 a.m. starts what?
So this year we're going to have, I guess, the first and foremost, I think we need to acknowledge something here that's very important, important to me, the importance of the 4th of July. And then also I need to recognize Colonel Philby here because he's been the tip of the spear on this project for many years now. Obviously, the colonel served his country and still provides a lot of leadership within the Caballeros de Yuma. So he has been, continues to be the tip of the spear, if you will, the person who runs most of this. We do have a chairman, Kevin Smith, this year. But if it wasn't for the colonel and his support and his leadership, this would definitely be a different event. So I think we need to recognize that. So this year at 7 a.m., we're going to have something that I'm extremely excited about, and we're going to have a flag retirement ceremony. I've personally have never witnessed the flag retirement ceremony, but obviously it's very, very important. I think it's important for the community because I made a mistake prior to this, and I would call it a flag burning, and that is very incorrect. Yeah. That is very incorrect. I think it's important for people, myself as a civilian, to understand, too, that it is a flag retirement ceremony, correct? Colonel?
Yes. It's correct.
And we need to understand that. We need to call it the proper terminology. And so we're going to have, we're very honored, we're very pleased that we're going to have a flag retirement ceremony at 7 a.m. this year. And we're inviting the public to attend. I think it's a ceremony that very few of us rarely get to see. But I think the impact of that in so many different ways, both as civilians and for people who are serving our great country, I think it's a sign of respect, and it is what it's called. It's a retirement of the U.S. flag or flags that has a high level of importance to all of us. It should, it always has, it always will have. But that's something that's pretty exciting for us as Caballeros this year.
When you say that, for most people who have not seen this, this is a short ceremony, 10 to 12 minutes, but it does require some participation. So we do need the public there. We do need people to help do this process. And, Colonel, for you, how many years did you serve, if I may ask?
30 years.
30 years. In 30 years, this still doesn't seem to be a no-brainer for you. You get emotional. And so for everybody's benefit, and I want Colonel Philby to talk about this, but there's a line in your script, and there's an approved script. This is something that legislatively is allowed to be done. I guess not legislatively, but there's an approved script, and there's a line in there that you say that those that would disrespect our flag have never been handed a folded one. Mm. Why does this still get to you every day when we talk about it?
I've got to get myself together here. Well, you did it. Seriously, let me step back. Why? Well, lots goes on with our flag. Our flag is our symbol. And yes, we enjoy freedom of speech, and yes, we enjoy freedom of expression. So you get all sorts of reactions to our flag, to our country, and sometimes it upsets me. But again, freedoms, we stand for freedoms. And as long as your freedom doesn't impact adversely on my freedoms, we can get together. And I won't go any further than that. But talking about the flag and retirement, there is U.S. code. There's, everything's got a code or rule that goes with it that talks about the retirement of the flag. And that code talks about when a flag is no longer suitable to represent our country, it should be retired. And then it says, and the most appropriate way is by burning. Okay, but we don't burn the flag. We disassemble the flag so it no longer is a flag, and then we burn the pieces.
So what you're saying, though, is, again, for everybody who's never seen this, you take the flag apart and you separate the red from the white stripes, right? So if the white stripes are in a pile of white cloth and the red stripes are in a pile of red cloth and then the blue field is kept intact but separate, now it is not a United States of America flag, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And for, again, everybody who's listening, the white stripes represent what?
I know you're going to do it to me.
Of course I am. Come on. The people listening need to know.
And I didn't bring the brains with me. I left them at home.
So the good news is Colonel Philby follows a great script.
And let me talk about that script. And I wouldn't want to spill the beans now. You got to come see it at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then
see,
I'll be happy
to. See,
you
do understand advertising. Holy cow.
I still will talk about it then. But the script, I developed that script because I did some research, Google everything, and pulled pieces and parts of what was recommended to be presented and put together a script that describes why we do it and then how it's done. And as you mentioned, it doesn't take longer than 7-12 minutes, and it's...
Now, for your benefit, Frank, you know, El Prez, when we were in the meeting talking about this and this got brought up, a couple of the gentlemen said, oh, my gosh, we don't have that much time. It's so hot. It can't be done. And Colonel Philby has volunteered and thankfully been part of our flag retirement ceremony at the office, because we've done this now for, what, 8 years, 9 years?
You've done it for a number of
and
years,
so
yes.
And so every one of our customer appreciation events, we show the staff how to do this, because you see how often we change the flag at our office. And I would say kudos to all of the businesses and governmental agencies around town, because you see a lot of really good-looking flags around town. You don't drive around and see too many that are weathered and torn and tattered up. So kudos to every business owner and person who puts money back into them, because they're not inexpensive. Garrison flag, Frank, what's a Garrison flag?
It's got to be hundreds of dollars. I mean, but they're very expensive.
So the point, though, is you see people putting time, money, and energy into the nice flags, but retiring one with dignity that has served its purpose is what this ceremony is about. And, Colonel, you're paying respect, and I can see what you're thinking when you're reading the script. Are you thinking about the cloth, or are you thinking about the servicemen and women that served underneath that cloth?
It goes both ways. The cloth is a very tangible aspect. I'm looking at the cloth. We are looking at the cloth. We're looking at the disassembled flag. But, of course, in the background is our country and our service members who do, in fact, fight for our flag.
Mm-hmm.
And every service member signs a dotted line and commits up to and including their life for the country. So it's our obligation or our responsibility to make sure that they haven't served in vain.
And, Russ, jump in here. You've been to the flag retirement ceremony
Yep.
many times. As the civilian side, but both your forefathers and your son serve in the military.
Absolutely.
You can write that name
Yeah.
down, forefathers. What does that mean to you, knowing that both your elder family members but your son serves underneath that same flag?
It even as a civilian, patriotism doesn't just belong to the military, believe me. You know, it's everywhere. And the fact that my family, my grandfather, my dad, skipped me, went to my son.
A lot of things skipped you.
A lot of did. But it's a prideful moment. It's an understanding why I'm here. It's an understanding that there's a stability, that there's a foundation, that there's you know, something that we can be proud of and raise our head up and look at that and know how many people stood under that flag and fought so that I could be here on the radio today, so that they could do it. But it stands for that whole entire foundation. And it gets me sometimes that people look at it as a decoration on 4th of July, and it doesn't mean much more than that.
Isn't that interesting how many flags you see go up for 4th of July and they're down
Yeah.
5th of July and then you don't see them again? And it's not inexpensive. It really isn't to put these flags up and keep them flying 24/7. And again, that's a small price to pay when you see some of these men and women, you know, again, we say this even on our money show, these E3s, E4s that are making $30,000, $40,000 a year that are willing to take a bullet for you and I. Yeah. And look, I'm just a dumb mortgage guy. You're just a dumb tree trimmer. You're just a dumb radio guy. I mean, truthfully,
I'm a retired old guy.
You know, when you say it this way, you think, wow, what I do may not be as important as what these young men and women do. That's why we do the flag retirement ceremony. So, again, kudos to you gentlemen, but El Prez, I want you to talk about why were you so enthusiastic to add this and add a little bit more time, even though it really doesn't cost anybody any time because it's earlier in the morning, so it's a little bit cooler. But what made you jump on this immediately to add this portion to the event?
Yeah, so during the meeting, I remember that day. I'll probably never forget some of the gentlemen that were there also. At the moment that the comment was made it was going to take longer, I made it very clear that I did not care whether it took another hour or two. But the importance of this to me personally and to us as an organization was well worth it. So time really, you know, it takes 15, 20 minutes. That made it very clear that we're going to take the time necessary to do this because of the level of importance it is to me, to the community, to our country. You may or may not know this, but I'm actually an immigrant. I was brought to this beautiful country when I was legally, when I was a year old. I was raised here, and I won the lottery because I have two cultures that I live with. And that, to me, part of that testament is to the flag and the people who I never had the honor, and I consider it an honor, but I never had the honor to serve. But I do have a responsibility to support our military. That's me and our family. We always do. So the flag to me has a personal relevance, importance, but most of all has a personal responsibility. So everything that I can do, especially in my new position within this great organization, that I can support the retirement of a flag and the flag ceremony, I'm committed to it, and I'll make sure that our organization continues to be committed to it. So to me, it has a lot of value. I respect men and women such as a colonel. I have several friends that have served. And I think it's my responsibility to support our men and women who have served, are serving, and will serve this great country. And if there's any way that I can continue supporting it, our company has been sponsoring the flag the last few years. And I will, if I'm given that honor, I will continue doing that for the next few years too. Mm-hmm. So I just think there's a certain level of importance that goes with the flag raising ceremony and also with the retirement of the flags too. It's very important to me, and it will always continue to be important to me.
Colonel, you do this, and you do a great job. You really are not the chairman of the event, but you're kind of the unofficial chairman of the event.
No.
Every year. But you commit time, energy to this, and you do a fantastic job. You orchestrate between both of the COs of the bases, getting people here. Do you enjoy seeing the public bring kids out to this event?
Oh, immensely.
Is it a kid-friendly event?
It is a kid-friendly event. It is a friendly event. One thing that we, the older generation, must do is teach the younger. I mean, how many times have you said, well, how come that kid's doing that? Or how come that person is doing that? And my response has been, well, they don't know any better.
Because they didn't watch a TikTok video teaching them not to do it.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go there. But but the point being is we owe it to our children, the people we associate with, we owe it to them to teach them, to show them. And the only way, not the only, a specific way of showing is doing. And we are going to do. I mean, Derek, you touched on how many buildings or businesses or homes are flying the flag. That is great. But peel it back one layer here. Mm-hmm. Ask that organization, that household, what do you do with that flag when it's torn, when it's faded? Where do you put it? And hopefully they don't say, I ball it up and throw it in the trash. I've had people come up to me and say, I've got an old flag, what should I do with it? I say, give it to me.
You take it.
Give it to me. I have a shelf in my garage that is full of folded flags that when an event occurs in town where they retire flags, I graciously offer a few more to the collection. And I know there's the Post 19 conducts a retirement mm-hmm. ceremony. Several of the scout troops conduct retirement ceremonies. So this one flag that we are going to retire next week on the 4th of July is not the only one in town.
Not at all.
There are other organizations that do it. I've observed, and it needs to be done, and we need to show folks how to do it so that it's correctly, properly, honorably retired and not just balled up and put in the trash.
For everybody's benefit, again, this is an easy event to get to. And again, it's not trying to go through security, getting on the air station. It's not a huge formal event. This is show up in shorts and T-shirts, and it's down in Old Yuma at the Armed Forces Park. You can show up just before 7 and participate in the flag retirement ceremony. Small break while things get reset, and the flag raising ceremony is at 7:30. There will be ice water out there, so Crossroads Mission donates the ice water to all of us. Thank you to ArborTech for donating the flag for the flag raising ceremony. And truthfully, it's right in the middle of town. So bring the kids, bring the family, come out and see this, and then go grab breakfast and talk to the kids about what they just saw. And I think if we started talking to people more about this, we would see more of these flag retirement ceremonies. So right now, we're going to take a break. We will be back after this short break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Hi, this is Leanne Womack. I fell in love with country music as a child listening to my dad spin records at a radio station. I always dreamed of hearing my own songs on the radio. I set a goal and achieved it. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. Never let anyone tell you it's impossible. So if you have the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk one more time. Derek Agerberg, Russ Clark, Colonel Philby, Frank Saldana in studio talking Caballeros, 4th of July, flag raising, and now flag retirement ceremony. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I need to touch on teaching, the fact that we are teaching and want to teach. And one of the organizations that's going to be involved with this event is the blank, you know, old guys get that. Territorial Marines, Territorial Young Marines. They are going to be our flag detail as far as flag raising. And I spoke with their commander earlier this week and asked if he would mind having his young Marines participate in the flag retirement. And I said it'd only take 3 or 4 of his people. So his people are going to also, his young men and women are going to be there to help us retire the flag. So we've got, I'm getting the youth involved so that they will understand how and why this is how you do it.
So at the flag raising ceremony, you will have Wendy McKay.
Yes, Wendy's going to sing the national anthem. And if you want to get your heart pumping, Wendy McKay's rendition of the national anthem will melt your socks. She does a fantastic job of the national anthem.
So we'll have some other patriotic songs. You'll have the CO. Who is the keynote speaker?
This year, the keynote speaker is Colonel Gerard Stone, Marine Corps Air Station Yuma. He is our keynote speaker. And an aside here, we're downtown, where the old train station used to be. We can always, always count on the Iron Horse coming in and sitting there and idling for us while we conduct our ceremony. It is like clockwork. We've got like a 30-minute window, and that Iron Horse shows up every year.
And for everybody's benefit, you're talking about where we are. The audience, the spectators are looking west. The keynote speaker is looking east. So the only person that really has any sun in their eyes is actually you or the keynote speaker. Everybody else has wonderful seats. You can see what's going on. There's plenty of room. There's not going to be any problem if you go, man, I don't know if there's going to be any room. Any just come on out.
Yeah.
Who are we honoring this year?
Okay. Part of the ceremony, we present the flag to be raised. And that flag is presented to the color guard by one of our honored citizens. This year, we are honoring and recognized Colonel Retired Ross Heeb, U.S. Marine Corps. So I've got a little ditty that I'm going to read, give you some information on this public servant. And he presents the flag to the color guard. The color guard carries it over to the flagpole, attaches it to the lanyard. Then we raise it as Wendy sings the national anthem. Then one of the members of the flag detail will lead us all in the Pledge of Allegiance. And then we will have the guest speaker, followed by some music. Wendy will sing with all of us, group participation in some patriotic songs. We have a chaplain from the Proving Ground that will offer the invocation, the beginning. And we have a chaplain from the air station who will offer the benediction at the end of the ceremony. And we'll that's what happens.
Very easy event.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
thank you.
I was going to say, you missed one.
I missed honoring.
Yep.
We also, the Military Affairs Council, Yuma Military Affairs Council, is going to present awards, recognition to NCO and Soldier of the Year from the Proving Ground, Marine NCO and Marine from the air station, and members of the Navy. We realize that the Navy serves at the air station, and we have two individuals from the Navy that will also be recognized.
So be there 7 o'clock or slightly before, 7 a.m., July 4th. By what time are most people done? Because I know that's everybody. Oh, my gosh, what time am I going to be done?
Most people, we wrap up no later than 8:15.
Okay, super, super easy. By 8:15, it's still not going to be super hot outside. Come out, support our country, witness a flag retirement ceremony, participate in a flag raising ceremony. And this is a great way to teach the youth a little bit more responsibility towards our national symbol. And with that, I do want to play, and thankfully we've done this every year, but you said national anthem. And when we talk about that national anthem, again, Colonel, tell me what the national anthem means to you when you hear that played.
It makes me want to stand up. Everybody should stand up when the national anthem's played. The significance of it is I've served overseas. And one thing that we always did, when you're overseas, you're in a military installation or associate with a military installation. They put the flag up. They raise the flag every morning, take the flag down every night. When the flag goes up, it's usually reveille because you're supposed to wake up. And when the flag goes down at night, it's usually, retreat. Retreat ceremony. But oftentimes during the day, something will go on and the national anthem will be played. Whoa, that gets you going. Especially when you're overseas, to hear your flag, see your flag, hear your national anthem, and you look around, and there are people stopping and acknowledging the flag's going up, the national anthem's being played. The national anthem is ours, as it says, national anthem. It belongs to us, the United States. It's played for us, the United States.
So to that end, I do want to play this for everybody because I don't think a lot of people know how, and yes, there's a lot of people that do, but there's a lot of people that don't know how the national anthem came to be, especially when you talk about the support that the men and women, and you used the word support earlier in the show, the support that the men and women do serving this flag, there's a portion in here where you will hear how men and women supported holding the flag up even in death. So, Russ, would you play that for us? And for everybody's benefit, this is one of the most important things for me the Friday before 4th of July is to remember how our national anthem came to be.
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Mr. Key," he said, "tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, "We're going to remove it from the face of the earth." He said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "If you will, scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, "That's the entire British war fleet." He said, "All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." He said, "You can't shell that fort." He said, that's a large fort. He said, "It's full of women and children." He says, "It's predominantly not a military fort." He said, "Don't worry about it." They said, "We've left them a way out." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Do you see that flag way up on the rampart?" He said, "We have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule." Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, "How many ships?" He said, "Hundreds." The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, "Men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch." As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, "Tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us." 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling, every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb, and Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, "It's still up. It's not down." The admiral came and he said, "Your people are insane." He said, "What's the matter with them?" He said, "Don't they understand this is an impossible situation?" Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, "The thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees." The admiral said, "We have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down." He said, "We don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that." But he said, "Now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point." Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer, "God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it." Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle. The flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he'd found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when hit, had fallen. But men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? O'er the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? The debt was demanded. The price, it was paid.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets breaking, the bombs bursting in air, gave food through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Oh, say, that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
All right. Thank you, Russ, for allowing us to play that on air. Thank you to all of the active duty men and women who are serving today and all of the men and women who have served in generations past. Colonel Philby, thank you for your service.
It was an honor to serve.
When you listen to that, that is why this flag raising ceremony and also now flag retirement ceremony is so important to me. And El Perez, jump in here on this. You know, we do a lot of events that are very visible in the public, and I'm going to go back to Midnight at the Oasis, the Balloon Festival, the tower lighting, things that the community sees that are fun. They're fun events, and this is one that is really a fun event, but it's a short event, but probably one of the most meaningful things that we do. And, Frank, when you listen to that, I'm struck myself, and I want your opinion because I know Colonel's choked up enough that we don't want him talking right now. You know, we go to baseball games and we all stand and we sing the national anthem. And sometimes we say the words in just such a rote fashion that you don't think about what you're saying. But I saw your face. You were actually digesting what he's saying and the words that were created. What did that make you think?
First, as always, whenever I hear the national anthem, it makes me feel appreciative of the fact that I live in this country. I'm lucky. Won the lottery, if you will. To me, again, I go back to the relevance and the importance of the national anthem. I'm one of those individuals that if you're sitting down at a ballpark, I tell you to stand up. I don't care who you are. And, you know, the consequences will be what they are. First, you commented on the colonel. He got choked up. As far as I'm concerned, he's earned that right.
Absolutely.
And not only thank you for your sacrifice, Colonel, but that of your spouse also, because too many times we forget the spouses that the sacrifices they make for our, you know, during the service of our military men and women. But back to this, you know, I get a sense of responsibility, a sense of appreciation, you know, a sense of being present in the moment. There's a lot of feelings that I get when I hear the national anthem, and I love it. I've always have from since a child. I always will. And, you know, one of the greatest things, when you were talking about the flag, I've been blessed to. I travel often, and whenever I come back to this country, one of the first things that you see when you're back in country, you see the flag. And every time I come through, I look at the flag, and I just thank God that I'm going in that direction to a country that has that wonderful flag. And, you know, again, let's not forget the fact that it's great, we're honored, but we also, let's not forget the fact that we have a responsibility also. And too many times we forget the responsibilities that come, you know, having the umbrella of freedom. And I think that's what 4th of July is also, to remind us that to appreciate, but also to have that responsibility, that too many men and women are no longer here with us because of the fact that we get to enjoy this day. And it's not about hamburgers and hot dogs. I think it's a day of appreciation. And at least that's the way that I look at it. That's the way our organization, as the Caballeros de Yuma, looks at it. And I'm grateful. I'm honored to be a part of that that group, and also to be a part of this community.
Colonel?
Well, we're looking at 248. That's our birthday this year. And we're here. We, the United States, are here. 248. That's our birthday, the 4th of July.
And we are here because there's a lot of men and women, generations past, that are not fully here because of the sacrifices that they gave. And you go back to that. And I hope that is all historically accurate, what we just listened to. But the visual of the flagpole being held up by the deceased bodies of people below, you know, that sacrifice, again, I'm going to go back to many of us who are listening. I'm just a dumb mortgage guy. I'm a loan donkey. I'm a jackass that does mortgages. You know, Russ Clark, you're a radio guy and a wrench turner. Mm-hmm. Frank Saldana, you're a tree trimmer. The three of us, none of our sacrifices are that. And I love Frank's, you know, talking about being an immigrant to this country and you won the lottery. And I think a lot of people here, and myself in times, you don't have the awe moment of, wow, I still live in the United States. I still have the most opportunity and the most freedoms on the planet because of men and women like Colonel Philby, Colonel Hebe, Colonel Stone, and all of the active duty, you know, enlisted, all of the officers that give of themselves that we don't even recognize. We're going to be out there for an hour and a half. Colonel, how many hours will you commit on the 4th of July for this ceremony? 2 hours?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even keep track. talking about flag, talking about overseas, let me go down a rabbit trail with you for just a moment. When we were in Germany the last time, we lived in British quarters. And during that time, the Bader Meinhof gang was very active and was targeting the British army, British. And living in British quarters, who's living around me? British. They all parked their cars in the garage. I parked my car in the driveway. Why? Because my car had a USA sticker on it. And if anybody wanted to come mess with a car, let them mess with somebody else's. Mine was in the driveway. They knew the American lived here. The other point, on the 4th of July, from my house in the British quarters, I hung the American flag. On the 4th of July in Germany, I hung the American flag on my house.
And it was your house. And that's, look, if there's a takeaway, that's one of the things, is this is our house. This entire country is our house. And I want my kids to know how to do a proper flag retirement ceremony. I want my kids to respect the flag when it goes up and see all of these amazing opportunities because of service and sacrifice. And, you know, again, you look at this event, 7 o'clock a.m., 4th of July. Come on out and see what a official, proper, respectful flag retirement ceremony is, and then enjoy some patriotic music, enjoy some awards, watch a flag raising ceremony, and then be able to go talk to the kids and your friends and your family about what you just witnessed at breakfast. Go support some of the local restaurants and have a, you know, what most people do. You're going to go out to breakfast, have an omelet. You're going to go get ready to cook hot dogs and hamburgers and swim. And you go back to that video, the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air. Isn't that what the fireworks represent?
Exactly.
You know, we go celebrate these fireworks 4th of July, and they're pretty, and they're fun, and we want to see them. And we, as the Caballeros, we do fireworks and the ending of many of our events. do we go and consciously say, wow, that's a symbol of the what we just listened to. That's a symbol of how the national anthem was created and watching the bombs bursting in the air. And Frank, as El Presidente, what is your vision with this event? Do you want it to ultimately be the same size? Do you want to have 1,000 people out there? Do you want to have people live streaming it from Yuma across the nation? And this could be one of those movements that starts people paying attention to a flag retirement ceremony.
Yeah, I think all of the above. I think, you know, to increase people's awareness, re-engage with the community, especially the younger folks, especially in this day and age, for us to be more aware of the importance. Again, I keep bringing up the responsibility that this brings also. But the more and more people, not just here in this wonderful country, but we have people from all many other countries too, that I think would appreciate a ceremony such as this so that they can see how committed we are, not only as an organization, as a community, but as a country on this very important date, one of my most important dates that I have. So I would love to see this grow more to, again, increase the awareness, increase the engagement of the community and everyone else around us. I just hope it continues growing more and more through each and every generation.
Colonel?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad we spent this time with you, Yuma, and come see us the morning of the 4th of July.
And we're not done yet, so you can't sign off that fast.
I'm not signing off. I'm just saying thank you.
He wants to get off air for crying out loud.
He can do anything he wants.
Well, he really can. After 30 years of service, you've earned it. You can storm out. Russ, please give me your color commentary. You've been there. What would it look like if we started having 200, 300, 400 people live streaming this on their social media with their phones while they're participating, and Yuma became that beacon?
I think it would be beneficial because what Philby mentioned just a little while ago is explaining it to the youth, letting younger people know, and then maybe we wouldn't have the flag burnings, you know, if more people understood and if we raised them properly. And I hope I do for the grandkids and obviously my kids. It's too late for them. But no, they are very patriotic.
They already know you. It's too late.
Yeah, and for the grandkids to go out on Independence Day and the 4th of July is a great time. It's picnics, it's fireworks, mm-hmm. it's parties, it's fun and all that. But to always bring that that attention, and it's a great way to do it in the morning, at the start of the morning, and to have the flag retirement ceremony is perfect because I know all the kids could ask questions as mm-hmm. to why and what's the meaning and why do we do that and I know that it's going to change some attitudes and some reflection on what that flag stands for when you see it other than just we know Uncle Joe always has one in front of the house.
Mm-hmm. And to your point, we need some help. We need some people out there to help participate in the flag retirement ceremony. Because when you say a big flag being retired, Colonel, you've done this over and over, even at our office. How many people do you need doing this?
We're going to do, I'm assuming, a flag on the 4th. It's probably going to be a 4x6 or
no.
6x10.
10x15.
Woo. Whoa, we found a big one. Good, good, good.
Well, that's what we fly.
Okay. So we're going to have a 10x15. It's going to take at least eight folks to do that because we're going to carry it out, opened up, so you all can see the flag we're retiring, and then we're going to separate it into its pieces, the red stripes, the white stripes, and the blue union.
And I would say 16 to 20, because when you do a flag that big, you've got to have holders, then you've got to have separators.
You got 15 seconds.
Anyone can participate, not just military and civilian, correct?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
All right, so we will see you out there 4th of July, 7 a.m., Armed Forces Park, Gila Street. Thank you very much. Have a safe and happy 4th of July, everyone.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.